All right, so the work I'm going to, part of it, what I'm going to show you this afternoon is really the work of many, many, many people, students, postdocs, and fellow colleagues. And so you see them all listed over there. And as we were just talking, this is my first time, I think, in an A session. I'm in S1, soil physics, and so but I've been trying to move into the plant world. And I'm sure, the other thing happens as well. Plant scientists needing, going back into the soils as well in order to define that interface there, that unknown area between the plant's roots and the soil. So that's what we have been trying to do. And I think I just go down like this. And I'm just going to talk like that. Would that work? The title is about modeling, but we all know that when you start modeling, you need to understand. I mean, the model comes after the understanding. So what we've been focusing on is really to look at how these plants respond to environmental stresses, and particularly in soil environmental stresses, and that can be water, that can be nutrients, temperature, salinity, and so on. And particularly then, and we might argue that we have done that in some way, but looking at spatial distributed stresses. So when we're looking at a plant in multiple dimensions, with a root architecture in multiple dimensions, how does the plant as an integrator, respond to these local stresses? And clearly that has tremendous implications, increasingly so, both agricultural as well as ecological, and in terms of biodiversity and invasive species and climate change and how these changes in temperature and water will impact plants and crops in terms of crop production with changing fresh water supplies. And so that particularly also relates to irrigation, where I have done a lot of work as well. So, but my talk will mostly be on the macroscopic level, which is really much, I think, many of you would consider empirical. Well, and I'm going to focus only on water. Okay, so I left pretty much the nutrients out in this talk. It's where root uptake is simulated by a macroscopic sphincter, and I will show you what that is. And stress functions then are done defined that would simulate reduction in uptake. Historically, however, most of that work has been done more on a microscopic level, which we call microscopic. Analytical solutions, you're well aware of, has been way back, looking at the roots, let's scale basically, looking at a root-soil interface. And then, in fact, defining fluxes, possibly defining potentials, and then include hydraulic properties for the root, what we call hydraulic properties for the roots, like the hydraulic conductivity and resistances and possibly capacities. So initially, I think a lot of the work went more in the small scale, where we're looking, modeling the individual root. Then we went, because of the numerical modeling, we went to the macroscopic scale, and we started to, so the microscopic on the top over there, where you have, a little root lit there in the center, and the root and the soil surrounding it, and then, there's the supply and the uptake of water and nutrients, into the root, and there have been, many analytical solutions have been developed for that in the past. But like I said, with the numerical modeling, the capabilities that we started to have 10, 15 years ago, and increasingly so, we can now model actually flow and transport, as well as uptake in a root zone at a root zone scale. So we're looking at flow and supply of water and nutrients, and this is the the classical dispersion equation, and then there's the sphincter. There's the sphincter over here, the S, which really defines in a macroscopic sense the uptake of water by the whole root system. That then can be, we do it for an individual within the system, and then we can integrate that over the whole root system to tie that back to plant transpiration. And so numerically, how we do that, we divide the root domain
and lay all the voxels, and then we grow roots. You know, the mole can grow roots, and you know, define the architecture of the roots. And then within each voxel, then we can compute an uptake term, which is this S term again, which then is a function of the potential transpiration of the plant. And then there is this root distribution, and it can be 2, 1, 2, 3 dimensional root distribution. And then there's the stress function alpha, which then controls, you know, how, you know, given, you know, which then constrains the potential uptake, depending on the, in this case, the soil water and the osmotic potential within each of these little voxels. Okay, so in three dimensions, we solve this whole system of, and solve for fluxes and potentials in three dimensions, and we compute this for each of these for these voxels. And in a non-compensated way, what that means is if any of these voxels, if there is a stress, then the total transpiration by the plant will be reduced. And so that's defined as the non-compensated way. And this here you see typical stress response function, the macroscopic way to the empirical way. And this is this was at the time which was fattest, that ranges between 0 and 1. And if the water potential is in the, you know, in this region over here, that factor will be 1, and if it's outside, it will be smaller than 1. It can actually go to 0. So what that means is, if you exceed a certain water potential, you know, then the plant would not take up any of the water. Okay, and that would then translate into the total uptake by the plant. So but how would you then compute those? And so what we do with what we have done and that is by inverse modeling. And so what that means is we collect a lot of data, and I show you one or two examples, and then we try to back out actually this sink term. So we're solving for the flow equations, and these flow equations and the sink term has certain unknown parameters which define that stress function or the root distribution, the multidimensional root distribution. And through the back door, by measuring, say, water content distribution in three dimensions, you can then back out what these parameters are. And that's called parameter optimization, and we call that inverse modeling. So back then, you know, we actually in California, so I'm at Davis in California. We have these nice almond orchards, and we at the time we defined, you know, an area, a three-dimensional area around one of these trees, and we started to measure in space and time water content. Okay, so this was done through a whole growing season, so you can see how you can control irrigation. You can actually start controlling, you know, the uptake of water by that tree. And you get an enormous amount of information, and that information is then used to back out what the uptake patterns are of this tree. And so here you see how this operates. So here is this another stress response function, but it has these unknown parameters that we're trying to solve for, you know, and so we put that into that expression. With that, then the model can compute what the actual update is. You see here is the stress response function that is multiplied with its potential uptake term. And if you integrate then this over the whole root zone, which is in three dimensions over here, you can actually calculate actual transpiration. And then you might compare that with independent measurements of transpiration to find out, you know, how well you did. But the key is that all this is done by measuring in the field the variables such as water content or water potential. So here you see a result of that. And so in this particular case, you know, the left diagram shows what the root distribution is. So there are parameters that go into to define the root distribution. And so this particular case, this shows this very shallow root interval, and then it computes the energy on the right hand side, the water contents in space and in time, as well as the uptake terms. Okay, so these gray scale levels you know, determine, you know, the relative magnitude of uptake for this particular tree. So this is in an uncompensated way. Now we can also do the compensated approach, where actually we allow for the roots to compensate. So if there are certain regions of the root zone where there is stress, that the plant then or the tree can actually compensate for that and take that certain amount of water that it could not take up in one region, then to take that up in another region that is less stressed. Okay, so and you can see how that could work in some kind of an iterative way, so that in fact, you know, and you can do that then by defining parameters, what we call here omega over here, that we call here the root adaptability factor, And so that's an empirical factor, and you can actually optimize that factor as well, such that, in fact, your measured distributions of water or potential would match what the model predicts. And so here you see a measured example of that same tree, where you see here, what do we have here? The spatial distribution of root water uptake. And so, and the key factor over here is that these regions of uptake change with time. And so it moves. So if there is stress in certain regions of the tree, in this case, you know, during the summer, and you control the irrigation, then rather than taking the water from the upper parts, it starts to pick up water to compensate for that at other parts of the root zone. So that's the idea. So we have done this in an agricultural system, and what we're just starting to do for the, is being part of a critical zone observatory is to apply a kind of a similar approach, but then in a natural ecosystem. So this is here in the Sierra Nevadas in California at 6,000 feet. We identified one particular tree, and this is a white fir. It's a 30-40-year-old tree, which is about 100 feet tall, I believe, 80 or 100 feet tall. And so we want to start using a similar approach to this particular system. And so what we have done here, you see a schematic of all the sensors that we started to insert in the soil. And not only in the soil, as you shall see later, but here we have these new sensors that have been developed. They are small, they are wireless, they give you real-time measurements of water content, of water potential and temperature at every 5 minutes, or even shorter time scales, if that's what you like. And it's all stored, and it can be transmitted wirelessly to our computer and analyzed. And so with that, and here you see just an example what type of output you get. So this is from the last year. You know, you get information at any spatial or at any temporal resolution for water content or water potential. And so, and here you see here for just a selected number of sensors. And, you know, there's a lot of dynamics over here. I don't have the time to explain that all what's shown over here, but you can imagine there's these dry summers, no rain at all, and then it starts to fall and you start having snow and rain, and then there is snow over the winter, it's freezing, and then the snow starts to melt, and then you have the melting water, you know, infiltrating, and that's what you see over there, and then it starts to dry again. And we can average a little bit of that, and what you see over here is using the water storage for that one tree, and there's some various numbers over there to compare, but you can imagine that from the slopes of this line, you can actually the actual transpiration of the tree, and these are the numbers that you see. Okay, so the lowest transpiration rates are about, that we measured using the soil water storage values, is about 3/10 of a millimeter per day. So in addition to the soil then, like I said, we want to look into the plant. So in this tree, we started to include a lot of sensors, sap flow, water potential, TDRs, to actually start sensing the tree itself, the trunk of the tree, and finding out what's happening as we are measuring the soil, what's happening in the tree. And so here's just one example of that. So here you see over the past year or so, no, the past 3-4 months, how soil moisture has changed in yellow based on all these water content measurements, and then in blue, the average sap flow. And so we had 3 or 4 sap flux sensors in the trunk of the tree at a certain height. And from that, actually, we can compute the equivalent soil moisture changes. And it's too much to explain, but what we were able to do, and that's why the two lines are matching, is that the volumetric flow rates measured by the sap flow pretty close to the uptake in volumetric flows as determined from soil water storage values. So, and that's, of course, what we want. And there's some other things happening over there. And potentially, for example, over here, we see that the sap flow is exceeding soil water storage. And what we're thinking is that actually the tree is acting as a capacitor, and so the soil cannot supply the water, and so the trunk is starting to conduct and changing its water content. And these are huge trunks, so there's a lot of storage capacity in these trees. We also measure stem water potential in the canopy, and again, you see the typical responses. This is just for one day, the diurnal response, where you're early in the morning, you know, and this is a megapascals, and you go down midday to about -1.2, and then going up and relaxing again during the night, and then you see the corresponding subflow in green with that. And again, you see this dynamics and the simultaneous measurements that we think should correspond with each other, which gives us then the necessary information to start doing this parameter optimization, the modeling of the hydraulics of the tree, but then include this, has the tree as a porous medium with the tree and looking at conductivities and capacities as one continuum. And so that's the idea that we're having. And it's one of the opportunities that they list here. But before I do that, I want to just show one or two other opportunities and in terms of how to actually measure the microscopic scale dynamics. And we're doing that with thermal neutron tomography. and we have what we have in Sacramento. We have a nuclear reactor, and it produces a lot of neutrons. And we use these neutrons then to actually scan roots in soil, the roots in surrounding soil, and looking at the water distribution in the soil with the roots, and then try to infer water uptake by the roots from these images. And here you see an example. And there was a paper yesterday that was posing the question: why is the water content near the roots higher than further in the bulk soil? And in fact, with this technique, we were able to actually see that. I mean, this was a paper published last year. We were not clear why that was. The paper yesterday that was presented indicated that maybe there is exudates over there that hold a lot of water in the rhizosphere. And anyway, so you see that clearly over here that within the rhizosphere, at least these measurements also indicate that water contents are higher than in the bulk soil. Now others and have then been looking at that scale as well and start modeling the type of dynamics that I was referring to, you know, being able then, you know, when you grow root systems like you see on the left, by way of a model, is then to compute the water potentials in the roots and in the surrounding soil, as well as the fluxes that would then happen within the root system. Okay, and that's work that was done by the French colleagues, Dusanal, and also in Germany by Gervo and Allen. This is all very recently. This all is, you know, started to take off just in the last year. So the idea, the opportunity, and that there is, I think, and what we want to do is to actually start modeling the microscopic with the macroscopic. So being able to do these type of simulations for the tree, but at the same time do that for the surrounding soil at the macroscopic scale. And I'm almost there. Actually, this is my last slide. So here you'll see the tree with all the sensors. Actually, we use GPR to start measuring and non-invasively the rooting system for this tree. And what we're planning to do in the next few months is actually start with a modeling exercise where we're looking at the soil and the tree as one continuum. So where you then solve for water potential in three dimensions within the root, or within the soil and the root, and then on top of that include the tree trunk, and look at it as a porous medium as well, coupled with the soil, computing fluxes and water content changes within the tree that would match the observations, and in that way start learning a lot more about the hydraulics of this system. And I think that's what it is. Thank you.
Exciting. We have time for questions.
Yeah, and I noticed you were measuring both osmotic potential and water potential systems in your equation. Are you finding quite a bit of osmotic influence as the soil dries, or is it simply a small pressure?
Well, good question. That was the model. No, I don't remember ever actually measuring both at this point, but this is certainly something that we wanted to do, is to actually look at both, because there's still a lot of questions in terms of how osmotic versus matrix potential affect the plant. Well, I don't, but there might be, you know, we might, in the audience, there might be that would volunteer to get to provide an answer. You know, there, it's an extremely, you know, from my point of view, from what I have learned and read, it's an extremely complicated system. And so in terms of modeling the uptake from the soil into the root, you know, this modeling is not at the cellular level. It's still at the, at, you know, when you're looking at the root, when you can look at the root, it would still be a macroscopic scale. So we said, so we represent the root water potential by a single single water potential in the root, and we would define conductivity of resistances by one or two single resistances, and we're not going to, you know, model, you know, the different pathways by which water, you know, possibly could move from the soil into the xylem. So that's another, that's yet another question that we are not going to solve here, I think. At this tree?
I mean, this are the
points. No, it's a very good question. I mean, so you know, I know there is a lot of interest in root hairs and how they take up water relative to the general cell, the roots, the root walls, and you know, and we actually have a proposal funded to look at that, but you know, it's a challenge. So it's that's, you know, so the techniques that that I just presented, the tomography with like neutron tomography, you know, the spatial resolution is about, you know, 0.1 millimeter or so. So, you know, so it will be very difficult to identify root hairs. But it's obviously it's a very interesting question. Yes. No. So no. Now at this point, that's not where we are. And again, I realize that depending on who, you know, with whom you speak to, that could be extremely important. So as all the pathways by which water and the nutrients could move. So really, at this point, we're strictly looking at the roots itself. But I don't think there is any, you know, if you could use similar approaches to include mycorrhizae, I would think. Yeah. But so in a macroscopic way, actually, you could couple it, if right. So it's for the model, it doesn't necessarily make a difference whether it's mycorrhizae or roots. So I should actually say that most of what we do over here, we would compute effective parameters. Okay, so it's parameters that represent the system.
Another question. Just one thing. So far, you know, my interest has always been to look at 3D and 2D and learn from it to maybe improve our 1D models. Can you point out some things that we have learned so far? The way we do in 3D, can we change something the way we do in 1D model?
Well, I think, you know, so we have done, you know, we went through those scales, a range of scales from 1 to 2 to 3, and we felt at the time and that indeed, if you're looking at stresses and how roots respond to stresses and looking at how these spatial variations would, you know, how would that impact the whole plant,
right,
that in fact the simple approach is not adequate.
For example,
yeah, so that you need to go to the larger spatial dimensions. Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.